So, over a year ago, I created something called the 7-Day HA Recovery Commitment Challenge. And I've been running it for over a year. It was this free email-based challenge. So, lots of reading, but you would get an email every day for 7 days to help you overcome and tackle the different but important areas that you need to be checking off in order to get your period back. Now, over time, I have collected some really great feedback, and upon working with all of these wonderful, amazing women, really started to learn even more about what works and what doesn't. And so I'm excited to be introducing to you guys the updated version. It's called the 7-Day HA Recovery Kickoff, and it is totally designed to help you not just commit to the process and have all of your ducks in a row in terms of important factors that need to be tackled and issues that need to be overcome in order to get your period. But the whole thing is now based in video. So you can listen slash watch, and every day for 7 days, we will tackle nutrition. There's actually 2 days of that because it's so big. We'll tackle lifestyle, we'll tackle exercise, your support network, your mindset game. Each video goes from anywhere between 12 minutes and 5 minutes, so it's not very long, but you'll get all of the most important areas and the best tips and strategies for how to implement them. Because I know that going through recovery is hard. There's always an area for each person that is a little bit difficult to execute on. And so the goal, or maybe a lot difficult. So the goal of this challenge is to help you have the awareness, the self-awareness, and the tools and strategies you need to overcome each of the different issues that AHA recovery faces for us. So get on it. It's great if you're at the very beginning of recovery or if you're halfway through. I mean, we never know how far through we are until it's over, do we? But no matter where you're at, it can be a really good opportunity to check in and look for blind spots and areas where you might be dropping the ball in your nutrition, in your lifestyle, in, maybe it's your support network that's a problem. Maybe exercise is something that you are still struggling with making changes to. So check it out. Go to thehasociety.com/7-day-challenge, or the link will be on the website. So it may be in the show notes of this show. It may not be. Just go to thehasociety.com and you'll find it in the footer, or you'll find it in the pop-up that happens when you visit the page. And we will see you for day one of the challenge.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Danny Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician.
Do it.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. It's me and it's Mishi, and today we're doing Q&As. Hey
Hi,
Mish.
hello.
Whoop, whoop. We are answering email-based questions. If you have a question you want to answer on you want answered on the show, Danny at thehasociety.com, or we answer questions that people leave in the comments on YouTube, which is at Danny Sheriff. So let's dive in. We have a question from Leffie. She asked, she's actually only 14 and a half. I think I told you this the other day. I just get tons of teenagers at the moment.
It's so
which is interesting. But, you know, it still applies to everyone. After restrictive eating, I got to the point where I was eating between 14 and 1500 calories a day with heavy exercise. My period started to become irregular and finally went away. I just officially went 3 months without a period, so can be diagnosed with HA. I'm so thankful that my Garmin cycle tracking had alerted me to the possibility of HA after only two missed cycles. Huh. I'm curious what that means. Like, do they know about it? Do they like prompt you? That's interesting. We should look into that.
Yeah.
If anyone knows, or Lethe, if you respond, like, what did the Garmin app say? I want to know. She says, my height was 5'4", and I went from 115 pounds to 103 pounds in about 6 weeks while restricting eating. I haven't weighed myself since I started recovering because I know that it could be a trigger to go back to restrictive eating. But I do know that I've gained weight just by looking at myself. I have had a lot of cervical mucus lately. I've weaned myself off of counting calories and eat three big meals every day until I'm fully satisfied. My body image has improved so much with the work of affirmations. I'm not always thinking about food, and I'm not sad anymore when my meal is over. Digestion has improved and has been sped up significantly. However, I still run. It's not because I'm trying to starve to stave off weight gain or earn my calories or anything like that, but just because I love to run and I've been making lots of improvements in my 5K time and I don't want to lose all that progress I've made. I'm hoping that since I started to work on recovery before I could even be officially diagnosed with HA, since I've only missed two cycles, I can keep up my running. I'm not emailing you to ask if you think I'll get my period back while still running, though you can tell me your thoughts if you want, but to ask you how long I should keep running and waiting for my period until I have to start to strongly consider whether I should cut out running. I'm in previous videos where you've talked about exercise during recovery, you say, wait a little bit or something like that. What's a little bit? 1 month, 2 months, 3 months? Hope this question makes sense. Okay. So we need to debate whether or not we're going to comment on the whole question, like the whole question with the context, or if we're just going to answer the question of like, when do you start to consider exercise or not? So, like, what do you think, Mishi? Do we just leave it or the rest, or do we answer the question? And do we answer the question?
I mean, I feel like you cover a lot of what she's, maybe seeking in the top part and probably every other video that you do, And I feel like you could probably answer a little bit of her question just by answering the question at the end, right?
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a crack. And I kind of want to say there's a part of me too that wants to say, like, if I am being vague in other videos where I'm like, because what she's referring to is when I say, make a change, wait and see what happens. If nothing happens, make another change, right? So I'm just saying, like, wait and see, right? The truth is, how long you want to wait and see is up to you. If you want recovery sooner, you wait and see 1 week, you're not seeing any progress, you make a change. It's probably in our practice, we wait 2 weeks. It's like a general thing. Depending on the change, we might wait 4. It really depends on the individual, how tied they are to the thing they don't want to change, how much evidence they need before they do make the change. All that good stuff. I'm not super prescriptive in content because if you want me to like dive in and be super prescriptive, that's for paying clients. Like I'm just gonna say it. You know what I mean? Like there's a level of vague that you're probably gonna expect to get. Because
the true, like, digging into your case, what's best for you, applying the context of your situation to come up with a really specific response is reserved for, you know, those opportunities. So there's that, you know, maybe that's a little bit why I'm vague, if anyone's ever curious.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. And also, with some of these questions, we don't have the full context. So it is always really hard to get that really prescriptive like type advice. And yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, like it's hard. That's the, well, that's the other thing, right? It's not just because, like, we want your money. It's like because then you sign a contract that we make sure our advice, we're allowed to give you advice, and we're allowed to be more specific and a little more prescriptive. Like, there's reasoning behind that, and perhaps that's how I should have worded it. Is more so like our contractually bound clients are the ones that we give that. So there is that fact.
Giving the advice legal
Yeah,
you can't get in trouble.
making sure it's legal. Yeah, like, we can't give you advice through Instagram. Like, I can't give you prescriptive advice through YouTube and through podcasts. So yes, we say, like, wait a little bit. What we generally do in our practice is a couple weeks. At that point, you should really start to see for the average person if this is working or not. And so, like, with this person, she's saying, well, you know, I've only missed two cycles. So yeah, I actually probably would expect you to make fast progress. Is that definite? No. But yeah, like, and that's kind of what she's insinuating too, right? Like, I haven't had HA for that long, so should I technically basically not have to work as hard to get it back? Which is, you know, which is a fair assumption to start with. So go ahead and start with that. Just like she said, she's going to. And if every 2 weeks you're not seeing ovulation, because if you're starting to see cervical mucus, like she's saying, she's had a lot lately. If you have a lot but no ovulation, then yeah, that's lasted 2 weeks or so. Like, that's enough information to know that it's time to reduce exercise more. Love it. Okay. I'm just responding to her now then. All right. Cool. Next question.
Y'all, we have been trying to record this for like 30 minutes. So here we go. Take 580.
Hey. Did you know that we support people with HA, low progesterone, anovulation, short luteal phases, and all of the types of challenges that come up with infertility?
Danny and I are practitioners that have helped hundreds of women beat HA, regain fertility, and get pregnant naturally.
We are here to break the status quo of spending tens of thousands of dollars on IVF treatments for women who have issues that can absolutely be solved naturally.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So we do this with our signature program that restores ovulation to regain healthy menstrual cycles, and if you're ready, get pregnant completely naturally.
On top of our one-on-one sessions, our fertility program even includes a styling session with Samantha Dawn, who is a body positive stylist. She's also our personal stylist
Yes.
and an expert in helping you to dress your new and nourished body.
This is so important that we don't even need to convince you on how important this is. We want you to relearn how to nourish your body, claim your fertility, and feel confident in your clothes as your body changes. It doesn't have to
So,
be painful.
no, yeah, exactly right. It doesn't have to be painful. With a little bit of guidance and support, you can absolutely do this. So if getting your cycle back and if feeling good about the process, if getting pregnant naturally is something you want to do, if you don't want to spend tens of thousands of dollars on medical treatment for something that you don't have to, we have just the place for you to go. So go to thehasociety.com/coaching to learn more about who we are, what we do, and apply today.
Yep, we look forward to supporting you.
That was good. Do you like that one?
Yeah, okay. I do like that one. That one's way more us.
Yeah, boom. There you go. From Lauren. All right. Hey, Danny. Thank you for all your resources. No worries. You're one of the first people I found when looking for a diagnosis for why my period went missing. After 8 years without it, and my doctor's clueless on why, we had 2 kids via fertility treatments during that time. I discovered HA on my own at the end of last year and started my recovery journey. I had my first period after 4 months of recovery and had a second one 36 days later and just started my third today. 22 days for the last one. So she's saying that she had a 22-day cycle?
I'm assuming she went...
She had a second one 36 day and then a 22.
Okay.
All right. So I'm so thrilled my period is coming back, but I've been tracking pretty religiously and haven't ovulated yet. I just have a couple questions for you if you have some time. Might also be a good video topic if you haven't done one on this. Love your ideas, y'all. Okay, you mentioned in a few of your videos about how you started having periods before you started ovulating again. How many anovulatory periods did you have? And did you do anything differently to get ovulation to start? As just general advice, since you don't know me or have my blood work, etc. She gets it. Is there anything generally you can recommend to support ovulation? Or is it just more of the same things I've been doing to get my period back? Amazing. Okay. There's a part of me that wants to go get out my my charts from my first few cycles.
Oh, I like think we're first in recovery?
Yeah. Because I don't ever commit these things to memory. But it's possible I didn't chart the first one and then did chart the second one. I don't think I was anovulatory, though I may have had one anovulatory. I know early on I had an ovulation on like day 6. But I may have just not known, like I may not have been charting my first or second. So there wasn't anything that I had to do to make ovulation start again. I just had to make sure my period came in general. Like I didn't like make sure overall I was ovulating, like that I didn't have HA again.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what she means, because yes, I did get my period back and then I lost it again.
Yeah.
And then I had to get it back again. So I don't know if it's any of those things that she's referring to, but yeah. I mean, you can go first, Mishi, if you want to. Like how, if your ovulation is taking, I mean, yeah, if you have a client whose ovulation is taking too long, like what are the things that we do?
I just, to kind of add a little bit to, like, I don't really remember like what my first cycles were like, if I was ovulating, wasn't. Like, I feel like I'm always telling people that they were anovulatory. They weren't great. I know that. Because I was still playing that game, like, how low can you go? Anywho, I feel like if we're just struggling to get our cycle into cycle parameters, and if we're struggling to know if we're ovulating or not, all those things, or if we're struggling to ovulate, that's giving me insights into the body just still doesn't have enough. So I feel like she kind of answered her own question in essence, because she was like, do I just do more of the things that I have been doing to get my period back? And I would say yes.
Yeah.
I would just, there's probably still some blind spots happening there that maybe you're just like not aware of, or maybe you are and you're just like, maybe I don't have to let go of that. Maybe like, are we trying to do the thing where it's like, how much exercise can I keep and get my period back? Or maybe it's like, how little can I gain and get my period back? Like, somewhere in there, like if that's happening, see where you're resistant to make changes to and like why. I feel like that's always what's going on with the clients who are like on struggle street with ovulation.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you, Lauren, feel like there's things that you can really look at yourself hard in the mirror and say like, okay, I am maybe doing a little bit of this still or a little bit of that still. You do have to address those and rule them out before you say that anything else is happening. If you were getting fertility treatments and they looked at your labs and they were like, everything looks normal, so that's weird, we'll just put you on treatment. That sounds a little more indicative of HA just because there's nothing glaring happening, like really high LH or really high FSH or something like that. But it is interesting for you to have a 36-day cycle and then a 22-day cycle and have none of them ovulate. Oh, big yawn. So it's Friday afternoon, guys. It is kind of unusual. So like, there is a part of me that wants to see your lab work. You know, if you're listening to this and you're like, no, I'm all in. You know what I mean? Like, I've done all the things. Like, why am I not ovulating? I do kind of want to see that. Because anovulation is really not that common. Like, it's not this super common normal thing to always happen month over month with HA. Once you recover from HA, you should generally have a normal healthy cycle. It might have signs of, you know, underperformance that you're still getting up there, but anovulation is a pretty big one. So if you have filled all the gaps, I would check out the lab work again. Maybe now that you're cycling, it will show something more clearly. So if you were going to fertility treatments with no period, it makes sense maybe that another underlying issue wasn't showing. But now that you are cycling, maybe there are some more clear answers that we can see. This is always a good opportunity for someone who wants to do like a consult. They can submit all of that information and then we can kind of get to, you know, they don't necessarily want like all this one-on-one coaching, but they just want someone to like help them understand where they're getting stuck so that they can kind of just get out of that bog. So I feel like both, you know, Mishi's take of like, yeah, fill all the gaps. And then my take of once you fill all the gaps, if this is still a problem, it's definitely worth testing.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? You bring up like a really good point of like how anovulation is just like, it's not as common as we think, because you know, I've had a couple clients who like, just recently we had the girl in the Restore program who had like a 3-day luteal phase, you know, and then I had another previous client who her cycles were always really, really long and her ovulation was always just like just looked like the egg just kind of fell out and then just like died kind of thing. And so
people suck at identifying ovulation. Exactly. So it looks like anovulation, but actually you can usually see it. It's just trash. That could be happening here too.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, that could be happening here. And what I also see is like a new pattern that I've been picking up on, but Danny, you've been doing it much longer. So maybe it's something that you've seen before too. It's like, you'll have a client, they recover and their first like luteal phase is beautiful. It's like 11, 14 days. And then their next cycle that they have, it's like 9 days or 8 days. So it kind of makes sense that like, you know, you had this 36-day cycle and then the next, it was like 22. So it could be something of that nature. And it could be, maybe it's just nutrient deficiencies. Maybe we don't really know. So yeah, to your point, a consult would be like a good thing to get more information and to dive a little bit deeper and potentially the possibilities here.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm definitely not accusing her of not having ovulated. Like, oh, I guess she's the one accusing herself of not having ovulated. That's right. But I was like, 22 days is short. Like, I don't doubt that that's the case. And we're the one accusing her of actually ovulating. No, 22 days is short. So like, it wouldn't shock me, but yeah, just like to your point, like you could ovulate on day 18 and then have like a 3-day luteal phase is totally possible. So, and it could look anovulatory, but if you draw your cover line across it, you draw a line across the temperatures, you can see it. Like there actually is a sustained rise. It's just not capable of pregnancy. So yeah, Lauren, that's the take. Hope that's helpful. I have like 20 more minutes, Mishi. Do you
Yeah,
could do an,
let's
one
do
more
it.
question? Okay, let me reply to Lauren. We're answering on an upcoming podcast episode. Thank you. Sent. Okay. Okay. Tina asks, hey, Danny, thank you for all the information you, Mishi, and Ashley share. It's helped me so much during my HA journey. I have a question that might be helpful to many other HAs. I've had three successful recovery periods that all came like clockwork after months of eating more and taking off fully from the gym and exercise. I got back in the gym this month and must have done too much, was lifting weights and getting more steps. And now it's day 40, no period. Can we just pause here in the middle of it to just show, like, for y'all, like, listening to the questions about exercise, what were they going to say? Like, how were they saying that I can keep the exercise in? You know, here's Tina just saying, here's what works. Here's what worked for me, doing nothing, which truly works. Okay, on with the question. I got back in the gym this month and have done too much lifting more steps. Now it's day 40, no period. I realized what I did was not smart and understand it had to be a combination of not eating enough and doing more, and it's still too familiar to my body. My question for you is, for those of us who are missing a recovery period like this, what is the best thing to do and get it back? To do to get it back? Fully rest until it does? Do you typically see it come back in a month or so if this happens, or am I back at square one? I continue to see mucus. My sleep has been fantastic. Hunger is low. Mood has been great, which are all good biofeedback signs and surprised me when I didn't get it. I have all the symptoms of acne, hormonal, emotional feelings, appetite changes, etc., which keeps me hopeful that maybe it's late, but still not good. I also realized that I should have started way easier with the workouts. Maybe light bands to keep and have kept steps low. Any insight would be greatly appreciated. I've been extremely upset and feeling defeated, and I want to stay on the right track. I mean, this is what I feel like I want every client. I'm like, you can go do the exercise thing. I promise you, you will be very upset if you are looking back and you're like, oh, I just went too hard and the period didn't come. And now I should have just gone slower. I should have just gone slower. Like, we think that the joy of getting back to the exercise is going to outweigh the pain of it not working. It's just like the pain is always worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, you know, Megan's story, how where she was like, I just didn't want to have to go back. Like, I just wanted to do it the right way the first time. And so she like it as slow as possible. And a year later, now she's like, what did she say the last time we chatted with her? I think she was like running like 9 miles or 10 miles or something. It was like her first 10 mile run or something.
And oh, yeah. She's doing the stuff. She's doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sucks like having to like ease back in because you feel like you're not doing enough, like whatever the reasoning behind it is. But it's just like it's so much more beneficial to start slow and then slowly build up than have to continue to. I wouldn't say you're always starting back at square one, though. You know, that would just, I feel like that's just an all or nothing mindset. Certainly not starting back at square one, but always having to like kind of just in a way start over every single time.
Yeah. We have an episode, I don't know what number it is, but with Caroline, it's not that long ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So whatever number that is, see if I can find it. She talks about how like we went through this with her where she brought in exercise too soon and she was worried about like, oh, am I back at square one? Is it just a delay? And I told her basically like, it's just a delay, you know, like you will, you were, here you go. Episode 246 246. So she introduced exercise and it was delayed a week or 2 weeks or whatever. And then we just backed off and we had talked about it and she still went ahead and did it. You know what I mean? Like, we had talked about starting slow, but she still went and added 3 days in when we talked about adding 1 day in. You know, it just is what it is. It's like, okay, well, at least now you have the evidence. You can go to one. Bob's your uncle. You know, like, and that worked, and it worked every time. And she did actually have to do it a few times. She's pregnant now. So just putting that out there. But yeah, it's like, it's just a part of, you know, if you want to take 2 steps forward, 1 step back, or, you know, like whatever, if you want to do that, that's okay. Or if you want to be like Megan and just go super slow, that's probably best. But yeah, it's so much easier said than done.
It so is. And I feel like sometimes you just have to like learn the hard way, or you just have to like, you have to do it your way. Like you said, you just kind of just like need the evidence that the way that you were going about it just like didn't work for you, to be kind of satisfied in a sense, and to have that evidence, have that experience. Cause then that way you kind of also, you learn your boundaries as well. So it's not like it's a good or a bad thing that, you know, whatever route you take, but you know, you do learn your boundaries in the process of that. And I also just, when you're recovering, you're just still so sensitive because you filled the deficit, right, to get your period back and start ovulating. But what you're still doing is you're filling up like your resiliency to stress. So like, your allostasis or whatever. So you're building up your glycogen stores and all of these things, your nutrients, and that process is kind of taking place like after recovery. And that's why, you know, your periods can be really sensitive to just life happening or adding back in exercise. So that's why you have to take it really slow and you have to be really patient and like have a lot of grace for your body, because it is very much still in a healing process. And I think we just think, oh, period, I'm 100% good to go. I've healed, I'm cured, all the things.
Yeah. Yeah. We're rarely 100% ready to go. If you get your period back really soon, you probably missed other valuable learning opportunities. I like what you said about just like, sometimes you just need to try it your way. Some of us are just stubborn like that. We just have to try it our way and it's okay.
Yeah, that's totally me. And that's my personality. And sometimes I just
say it.
I think
same.
One of these points in my life, I just need to take like the more logical route versus that I'm going to do it.
Maybe one day.
One day.
Like this idea of like investing in mentorship early. Like I've always just been so like, I'm going to learn to do it myself. I'm going to try and get as far as I can by myself. But then I have friends who are like, I immediately hire out to speed up the process from the beginning. And it's like, there's two, you know, types of ways. And I feel like that's a good application to this. Like I immediately just follow the instructions to get it right from the beginning, or I'm going to try it my way to see if I can come up with this like less painful path. Whether it's like less financially painful or less of like the pain of my body changing or whatever it is, people just like default either way.
Yeah. I feel like my big regret is like, I wish sometimes through my whole healing process, like I actually wish I would have gotten help, because I feel like I would just be maybe where I'm currently at now, 3 years later. I would have gotten there maybe sooner. And
you would have,
or maybe,
that's 100% right.
And I would just be more involved in all of these things. Like, So I kind of like wish in that aspect I would have gotten help, but it's a hindsight thing.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda, you know, but you didn't, so you don't. And that's okay. That's probably partly why you're passionate now and why you like helping others. So it's still an important part of your story, you know? Yeah. I did end up getting help because I realized halfway through, like I'm way too reliant on someone else giving me the thumbs up to do this. I was more looking for the permission. And then on the other end realized like, I think other women also need permission. So oh, yeah. Like, let's be that for them. So everyone's path and everyone's path they take is important for different reasons. So I never shun or poo-poo anyone who wants to try it a different way, who wants to try the slow and steady, keep exercise in, wean it off, whatever, because there's probably, that's their path for a reason.
Yeah, and there's pros and cons to whatever choices you make in life. Who's to say me getting help would have been a better path? You know what I mean? I could have gotten somebody who was like still in a disordered eating or something. I don't know. But
yeah, no, exactly. Like you could have hired the wrong help or like, no, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. But
I hope this was helpful now, for guys.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Now, thanks for helping me chip away at some of these questions. Mishi, if you guys have a question, and Danny at thehasociety.com. We'll see you guys next week. And everyone have a great day.
Bye.
Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor, and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm, and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping. But once you're cycling, the temp drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the temp drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So Temp Drop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons, like HA recovery, making sure your cycle is not slipping back in the HA direction, Temp Drop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the Temp Drop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck.
This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now. And the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day. And I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic. It's made from Australian beef. And my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society.
Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.